Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Going Long with Joe and Paul. On this episode, they break down the Easter holiday, a look at next week's pattern, and a discussion of the drought and preview of the wildfire season. Now, here they are, meteorologist Paul Pastelak and Joe Lundberg.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Going Long with Joe and Paul. And we're back for another week of severe weather, Joe. And severe weather, as of this recording on Wednesday, is hitting hard across the middle of the nation, Joe.
Yeah, this is the fourth week in a row where it's been primarily a midweek event, somewhere Tuesday, Wednesday, with the heart of severe weather. And we're at it again as we're recording this, you know, anywhere from near Chicago down to St. Louis, parts of the lower Mississippi Valley, East Texas, and it's going to march right on across into Mississippi, Alabama, and affect Tennessee over the course of this afternoon and tonight when all is said and done.
Very close to the outbreak area of the where the worst place is going to be here today and tonight from December when you go back to the Mayfield tornado and kind of similar area that's going to be affected here, but a little bit wider spread coming up here today and tonight. Again, it's not a good situation for those folks, and a lot of these tornadoes could last into the nighttime hours, which means you know, a lot of people going to sleep and not being aware of the severe weather that could be approaching their areas. So it's going to be.
And on the other side of it, you've got a wild snowstorm that's been raging across parts of Montana, North Dakota, up and into southeastern Saskatchewan and southern Manitoba. You know, some places, what, 3, maybe even 4 feet of snow out of this, and certainly some higher drifts that have just closed a huge stretch of I-94.
Yeah, you go from 41 to 60% of normal. I saw of the ranges of snowfall this season from September to now across parts of the western Dakotas. And now one storm is going to put you above normal for the season, basically. In some areas, you know,
and I guess the side benefit of this is that will melt and get into the, you know, the streams and the rivers, and into the ground. So at least the start of the growing season will have some moisture to work with in these areas. And that's good.
Yeah. And they're in a drought. And the thing is, will this take care of the drought? And the good thing about it is it should be a slow melt because we're not expecting rapidly rising temperatures across that area. We're just expecting kind of normal to below normal at times. And, you know, that could slow the process down for extreme flooding in a lot of these places. But at the same time, it just soaks into the ground little by little, which is good news. And hopefully the drought won't be as bad. We've kind of been saying it doesn't look as bad as last year's drought. So hopefully that'll work out for them.
It's certainly a wild pattern. Somebody was asking me about this, you know, said, well, you know, is this unusual to see, you know, this kind of extreme? And I'm like saying, it doesn't happen every year, but, you know, spring is a time of volatility. You've got the tropical regions are getting hotter and hotter with, you know, the direct rays of the sun heating it up, but you still have a lot of cold air in the high latitudes at times. And, you know, when a storm comes along, these things they just don't mix very well. And you can lead to these powerful storms that have raging snowstorms with high winds on one side and severe weather on the other side. And that's what we're seeing again with this system.
I don't know about you, Joe, but in New England and even here growing up, I remember a lot of Easters being cold, wearing my jacket, going outside Easter hunting when I was a kid. I mean, it was cold. I mean, this time of the year, it still can get cold in the north.
Yes, it can.
And it affects baseball weather, affects soccer weather, whatever you're playing, lacrosse, everything outside. It affects everything. That's the negative of living in the north. I mean, you got to deal with this stuff during the spring weather sports season. And the south, hey, they're saying, hey, we're having fun down here. But you know,
here's an interesting little tidbit for you. I'm not sure you are aware of this one, but record highs in the mid-Atlantic, from Virginia up into Pennsylvania today. This is the 13th of April when we're recording this Wednesday, are from 1977. You know what happened in May of 1977 in the Northeast?
I was seven.
May 9th and 10th?
I can't remember.
It was a snowstorm, May 9th and 10th. It was a wild event that, you know, a couple of systems combined into one big upper level low, just off the Northeast coast. And it went from 60 on Sunday to snowing, you know, late Sunday night and Monday morning. as this storm developed. And some places in parts of northern Connecticut and Massachusetts had upwards of 20 inches of wet snow. I think Logan picked up a half an inch of snow. Worcester had, I think, a foot of snow. It was just wild.
Well, that leads into what we're going to be talking about here today. We're going to talk first about the Easter holiday, and then going into next week's pattern. And there is a chance that we could see some type of snow event next week, Joe. So yeah, it's getting, I mean, it's not May, but it's April, and it still can happen. So we do have some chances out there in the east for snow. Hey, I got a video, by the way, of Mammoth Mountain the other day from the folks out there, and they were showing me some of the pictures of the kids skiing and the snow coming down hard. And they look like they're still active. They're still active out there as well. So,
well, just so Portland, Oregon had an inch of snow. Mm-hmm. First time they've had measurable snow in the month of April. Now they've done it twice in May. I think it was 1953, but never had accumulating snow in Portland, at least not at the airport. I think records go back before that at a non-airport site where they did have a couple of accumulating snows at whatever that site location was. But it's an extremely rare event. I mean, you know, we're talking sea level in April in Portland. That's just uncommon.
It's been an odd winter there too, because they started out so hard on the wet season, getting hit so hard, and then it just kind of eased back for several weeks. And now it's kind of getting back into it again here. So it's like it's just kind of an odd winter for in winter and spring for those folks out in the Northwest. And
yeah,
go ahead. Oh, Joe.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that there was a comment made yesterday, when we had our long range team meeting for the summer forecast. You know, about it, you can't get, 2 months in a row of below normal temperatures. But I've been looking at some places across the Northwest, the Northern Rockies, the Northern Plains, the Midwest, and we're looking at like 3 months in a row with below normal temperatures. Yes. This has been an incredible run of cold, for the first, third of 2022 in these places, with some minor upticks, but persistent chill for the past, 100 days in these areas. It's been amazing.
Well, it just tells you how strong this La Nina was this year. I mean, it's still hanging on, and that's the area of the country that usually keeps pretty chilly, during La Nina times, and we're still dealing with it. And again, another reason why our team decided to pinpoint that area during the spring as winter hanging on, winter lingering on in our maps, and it's been happening. It's worked right to the schedule that we thought would happen, and hopefully they can start to break this down the road here. Although I think they still got some rough stuff coming ahead. I still think there's times they're going to get chilly, and there's going to be some late spring snowfall to contend with.
I'm with you on that.
One last thing we're going to do today, if we can get to it, the drought and wildfire preview. Joe just said that we had our summer meeting yesterday and discussed a lot of this stuff, and we're hashing out the details, and we do have a little bit of insight. We're not going to go into detail yet. There's still more research to be done here in the next week or two, but we'll give you kind of some ideas of what we think going forward on that as well. But first of all, the holiday coming up, Joe, it's a little shorter range first before we get in longer range. What do you think about Easter Sunday across the country?
Easter Sunday, kind of volatile across the Southland, anywhere from Southeast Texas to Florida, along the Gulf Coast. That's where we find some pretty active weather. And then there'll be a storm that'll be coming across the Dakotas, and somebody up there is going to get some snow again, in parts of North Dakota, maybe parts of eastern South Dakota and western, in central Minnesota could see some snow out of this. It'd be a wet snow, and it's going to pale in comparison to what some of these places are seeing with this most recent blizzard. But it's like saying, come on already. It's almost, we're getting close to May. Can we let up on this?
Well, the roads should be cleared out from this current storm across the north. It should melt pretty fast on the roadways by the time we get to Sunday. And this system, again, like you said, is more of a wet snow system. So you may not have a lot of troubles getting to church or wherever you do on Easter Sunday up in the north. But down in the south, you're probably going to need the umbrellas. Anywhere from Illinois to the southeast, I think you're going to need some umbrellas on Sunday.
Yeah, St. Louis could be in for some rain. Maybe Kansas City gets a little bit. Little Rock, Memphis, Shreveport, maybe Houston and those places. And on over toward, say, Tallahassee and Palm Beach and stuff like that. Those are the places that I think would be susceptible to wetness. Not going to have to deal with that in the Northeast, but you're going to need jackets. You know, in the wake of a front that comes through late Saturday and Saturday night, it's going to be mighty chilly in the Northeast.
And wind on top of it looks like a little brisk.
Especially in New England and Eastern New York State. May not be so bad down in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maryland, but it's still going to be chilly. I mean, sunrise temperatures, you know, down in Virginia and Maryland, probably going to be low 40s and 30s farther north. And daytime highs are going to be, you know, 10 to what, to 12, 13 degrees below normal.
Yeah, we like to dress up in our Sunday best going to church in the Northeast. You know, again, you're going to have to throw that extra jacket or sweater on for the temperatures that you're going to be seeing in the morning hour. So.
Absolutely. And it's not like you're going to have any kind of warm weather, you know, out across the middle part of the country. I think it's below normal. Mississippi, most of the Mississippi Valley, certain mid and upper Mississippi Valley, the Dakotas, Montana, Wyoming, down into Nebraska and Kansas and Oklahoma. Those places are going to have a chill in the air compared to what you're used to feeling for Easter weekend.
That's like the second cold high. There's one at the start of the weekend and there's one, you know, later Sunday into Monday coming down. So they got two cold highs that are going to probably bring near record lows with all that snow on the ground. So it'd be interesting up there. Southwest opposite, you know, looks pretty warm and sunny, pretty much no weather related issues across the Southwest coming up for Easter Sunday.
Yeah, particularly interior SoCal and Arizona, you know, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Tucson, maybe even Salt Lake City and Albuquerque. Those places look to be pretty toasty for Easter weekend.
Yeah, and just a little smoky in some spots, especially in the Front Range and the western and the southern high plains. But other than that, I think they're going to be okay in the Southwest. In the Northwest, does that storm hold off until Sunday night? Do we have a dry day on Sunday?
I think so. I think that they're dry on Sunday. It's not going to be warm, but at least it should be dry with some moderation from the chill of the next 3 days in those areas. So, you know, it's probably still a bit below normal, but at least it's a little closer to it than what you'll be between now and Friday.
Oh, that's good. Good news for them. Give them a little bit of a break too as well.
What about next week's pattern?
Next week. Well, things get really interesting on Monday and Tuesday, late Monday and Tuesday, Joe. It's the system that comes in into California at the start of this weekend that could bring some significant snow to Sierra again. They're going to get hit. The ski areas there are still skiing. They're going to get hit pretty good. And it goes across the country more. I can't tell whether the modeling is so weird. It's like I don't know if it goes north and then south. I don't know where the energy. It does look like there's two separate identity, two separate systems that try to merge together at the last minute on the East Coast. And you almost have like a secondary low development. It looks like a January, February pattern more than an April pattern. Yeah. And there may be just enough cold in the higher elevations that we could be talking about, you know, some type of rain turning the snow event in the Northeast. Could start in the central Appalachians and work its way through upstate New York into New England late Monday into Tuesday, Joe.
Yeah, and I would think that the latter areas would be more favored for that, you know, as the storm would have an opportunity to wind up. Although if you look at the GFS, it says, what are you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, like, I know. You know,
the 0-0 run has no such animal, you know. So you just wonder, you know, what are these, you know, different models trying to figure out? Or, you know, and I think part of the problem is what you already diagnosed, that, you know, the energy almost kind of gets lost by the various models trying to come through the Rockies and out into the Plain States. And, you know, therefore the interpretation of the models are different as to how this all comes back together again down the road for the eastern half of the country.
Well, you know, this is something we've had in our spring forecast. We keep going back to 2012. It was later, mid to late April, and there was a freak snowstorm that took place from northern Pennsylvania into parts of New York State, and some places got 8 to 12 inches of snow out of that event. And I just keep seeing this kind of pattern very similar to 2012, and the setup is a possibility here. It could happen.
It could come together. To that point, the Euro weeklies from last week, when we were doing this last Wednesday, you know, on Monday had gotten a bluer look to them for snow anomalies across parts of Pennsylvania and the Northeast. And that's not gotten any lighter. We, you know, these are suggesting that, you know, there's a higher anomaly for snow potential in these places than what you would normally see at this time of the year. I'll just ask you a quick question off the cuff. Sure. You know, I don't know if you go back this far, but was 1977 in any one of your analog packages?
It wasn't. It was not in there, and I may not have looked at it close enough to include it into the pattern, but I kind of stuck with 77. I think it was 76 was in our analog package for a little while during the winter season, but kind of dropped off when I looked at everything for the summer. So
I know winter 76, 77 was brutal cold across the country.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was 76, 77. I can't remember.
You know, then we had the record warmth in April. And then all of a sudden we had, you know, the freakish snowstorm in the Northeast. And, you know, as I already referenced on May 9th and 10th, a Mother's Day weekend. So I just was wondering whether that appeared in any way in some of the analog packages, you know, just because of the correlation that I'm seeing right now between record highs of today and, you know, snow down the road. And we're talking snow down the road here after this very warm day today in the East.
Well, there's still a couple of other analogs that we have there show it too as well. So I have to look into the 77 year. I did not look at it that.
I'm just curious. You know, that's a morbid curiosity thing for me. Right. I like to see these connections. I remember, you know, one of our former colleagues who used to work here, Elliot Abrams, you know, he was, you know, big on, you know, when you see record highs, you know, from one year being approached and what happened down the road, you know, some weeks later, and whether or not there was a correlation between the two.
Yeah, I know. Elliot used to always bring up in our meetings. Yeah, in 1950 something, there was like 10 record high. He used to always bring that up when we talked and discussed, and he usually followed that pretty closely. He did. He looked at stuff right after that to see what happened. So he's really
didn't want to derail things, but I just wanted to throw that out there for you.
No, it's good stuff. Good stuff. I mean, there's, again, it just shows you, everyone, that we just don't look at forecast models. They help. You should be in one of our map discussions. They do short range, a lot of short range stuff, and they just go on and on about 50 models. They just get brought up, it seems like, in the conversation. But there's always this historical or going back, you know, something happened in this year that kind of relates to what's going on right now. And you can use that knowledge as well to help in forecasting longer range forecasts. So,
and I think it's been a big help to you and the team this, you know, over the past several months, you know, to get a peek at what the winter season was going to be like and to pick out some trends and things of that nature. And as we're going to the spring season.
Right. I mean, it's, there's things that relate from season to season. Sometimes they kind of change. We see that happening, but what's unusual about this year, folks, is that this La Nina, usually La Nina start to weaken in the spring season. Start to see the change. You go from a winter that has La Nina, and then it weakens to almost neutral conditions. It kind of goes through a change. This one's hanging on. And so it's hard to find some matches that match up directly what's going on and other teleconnections that are going on. So it makes it a harder forecast. And I think I mentioned to you, Joe, I don't know if it was a week or two ago, that I was having a difficult time with the summer forecast coming up. Yep. Because I just couldn't find good matches, you know, but things have really come together a little bit more. And I think our team has really put together a pretty good package that we will let everybody know about at the end of this month. So
we see the storm potential early next week, Monday, Tuesday timeframe. Mm-hmm. What follows that storm?
Well, I think there's some up and down. I thought it was going to be cold the whole week, but I still think there's another rise in temperatures with a cold front approaching that has some pretty good rain and maybe some bad storms in the south, Joe, coming up midweek, sometime late Wednesday into Wednesday night. And so temperatures should rebound fairly quickly in the east for maybe a day or so before another cold shot comes in from the Midwest and swoops on through the northeast by later in the work week, Joe. So little ups and downs going on here, I think, from the Ohio Valley, Mississippi Valley on east.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. You know, the one thing I would say is that it just looks like we're not into a pattern yet where there's persistency in the warmth. I mean, even this week, you get a few days where temperatures have rebounded nicely. We're in the middle of that stretch right now, and we hang on for dear life into Saturday ahead of the you know, the stronger cold front that comes through. Uh-huh. Not a lot of weather with it, but you know, then you get a downturn again. But you know, even that to me is not a long enough period where you say, "Hey, wow, we're here. Spring has arrived. You know, it's here to stay." we're just not into that pattern right now. And looking at next week, you know, and into the final days of the month, I'm hard pressed to find that persistency of warmth. I mean, it just looks like it's every time you get these warmups, bang, here comes another strong system to come through. The amplitude, you know, reasserts itself, and you've got another shot of some pretty chilly air once again. Maybe it's not as intense as what we're seeing right now in the northern plains in the middle part of the country, but it's still going to be mighty chilly, I think, in some of these places.
Yeah, two things, Joe. A lot of ups and downs, like we talked about here, and even still some opportunities for some snow across parts of the interior northeast. But you know what's good? You know what's weird about these fronts? The fronts are making it well down to the south.
Yes.
I mean, they're making it all the way down to Florida. There's no – and maybe even farther than that, I've seen – a couple of fronts maybe getting down to the southern Gulf and southwest Atlantic, which we have to be concerned about that nothing develops as far as early tropical stuff goes. But, you know, it's odd. The push is pretty far south, Joe.
But it shows you the amplitude and the pattern. I mean, when you're getting these troughs and ridges, they're big ones. They're not little ones. You know, and the jet stream is still trying to sort itself out and begin, you know, continue that retreat northward, you know, but there's still a lot of energy in there. There's still a lot of, you know, cold air that keeps reappearing, you know, across North America. And anytime that gets injected into these systems, it just kind of, you know, refires the engines once again. And, you know, bang, you get another, you know, thrust of cold air that drives the front all the way down to the Gulf Coast and beyond.
Here's a thought going farther out into early May. And I was talking to Bill Bauer, member of our long range team. Could this thing just turn around and the upper jet, there's a split in the two jet stream patterns, and there's an in-between where there's nothing anymore. It just kind of stops. The amplification's gone, and we have to deal with upper-level lows then going into May. And that's it. I mean, it's like it just does a complete turn after April 30th, right after April 30th.
It's funny because I was mentioning that to my wife the other day. So it's like, we're going to go, you know, on this, you know, endless winter. Then all of a sudden, boom, it's done. I mean, it's just all of a sudden, you know, here comes summer, get the air conditioning out and, you know, everything's just ready to go.
But it may not warm up. We may be stuck under the upper lows though.
Well, it depends on where those are.
Yeah,
and if you're on the left side of those things, you know, far enough on the left side of them, it can be really nice. If you're underneath them, it's cool. It's unsettled. You get pop-up showers and thunder showers. You know, it's just not all that nice. You know, so it depends on where they are. But, right. You know, spring, you know, you get to May and June, that is the cutoff low season. You know, the jet stream retreats, but you get these pockets of cool air left around that don't move for very, very much at all. So you have a several day stretch where the weather is just like, you know, when's it going to be really nice? And if you're underneath one of those things, it's not so nice. But if you're on the other side of, you know, either side of them, boy, is it beautiful for a nice stretch of weather.
I know. Well, we're running out of time. So let's talk a little bit about the preview of the drought wildfire season, Joe. I mean, looking at the West, Joe, 90% of the West right now is at some level of drought going on. I really haven't seen this kind of coverage since 2013 at this time of the year. This is very impressive stuff, very widespread across the West, which is a high danger setup here going into the summer season. I don't see tremendous amount of precipitation rushing in to clean this drought out. It's not going to happen. So it's making a very dangerous situation for the wildfire grassland fire, you know, setup here going forward. So my take is that, you know, we got to hold on here. You know, once we get out of severe weather season, we're going to have to deal with this pretty full fledged.
No, I think you're right on that. And you know, one of the areas, to me, that you have to be concerned about would be the Eastern Rockies, Western High Plains. I mean, that area has already been dry. In fact, you were noting yesterday that one of your friends has already said they've had to deal with three wildfires already, you know, in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a sign that already how dry it is there right now. And this big storm just missed them. They really didn't get much at all. Denver hardly got anything.
Right.
So, you know, with them missing out on the moisture from this storm and it all going to the north, you know, it's just another opportunity missed to get some much needed precipitation. And with the sun angle getting higher and higher and higher, you know, you get a lack of rain. You know, it's a disaster waiting to happen, unfortunately.
And if you get these storms coming in still from the northwest coast or even Northern California cutting across west to east, it kicks up a lot of wind. And so the wind behind systems you know, you don't get much moisture from the systems because they're too far north of support. And then you just get the wind driving out of the mountains, you know, places like Texas and Kansas and Western Oklahoma and those places, you know, it's not going to be good. The wind will pick up at times. It's dry. There could be some fires already going on or new ones starting, and then they spread so fast.
Yeah. Was it Steve yesterday was talking about the, you know, the number of red flag warnings that have been issued already in 2022.
Yeah. You know? It's insane. And way above, we're way ahead of average as far as what number of wildfires. We're ahead of the 10-year average on acreage burned already. And here we are ahead on red flag days. I think, I don't know the exact number there. But I know we're ahead on that too. So it's not a good start to 2022.
Hopefully some of these places will reverse that. I do think, and we were talking about this in the summer forecast, that the summer monsoon in the Southwest does look to be normal, maybe even a little on the plus side. So that will give some relief to those places. Yes. But the other side of it is, as that moisture comes inland, and initially it can lead to instability, but those could be dry fire, you know, dry thunderstorms up in the Rockies.
Yeah, they're thunderstorm starters. You know, they start up the fire starters, I should say. The thunderstorm, yep. Yeah, it could be bad. You know, that's a good point. I didn't bring that up in some of the write-up for the summer discussion. I may have to add that in, Joe, because, you know, initially, yeah, until you get it moistened up, it's there could be bad news for any thunderstorms that do fire up.
I would think Colorado and Utah would be the places I'd be most concerned about that.
I'm with you on that. Okay. Hey, let's break it down. We'll come back into the drought and wildfire more, you know, specific manner later in the month, but we got to break it down here, Joe.
All right. Southwest looks warm and dry for Easter weekend. The Northwest looks cool, but the big storm holds off until probably after the Easter weekend. And it looks like there's more wet weather for them. Although California, the Sierra is going to get some, you know, some snow out of this, what, for the Saturday system before that moves eastward and reemerges out in the Plain States by the beginning of next week.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how this is good. The modeling is so messed up right now that we can't be definite what happens in the Northeast early next week, because we don't know exactly how it comes together in the plains. And what may end up happening is that most of the plains misses out on any significant precipitation. It's more the Mississippi Valley on East, Joe. Would you agree?
I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, I think the Gulf Coast area is probably going to be susceptible to getting to rain and thunderstorms. And that could be anywhere from, you know, Victoria, Houston, and especially points east across New Orleans over to, you know, Pensacola and those places. So I think that they start out the work week moist. I don't know about the severe weather threat. I think it's reduced from where we've seen in the last 4 weeks. I don't want to say it's zero, but I think it's way down compared to what we've seen. But then eventually all the pieces may come together for a significant storm affecting the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, particularly the Northeast, and as we go to Monday night or Tuesday and Tuesday night.
Yeah, we've talked about that in depth. Just what do you think about the Southeast? Do they get any rain out of the system?
I think they get some. I don't know how much they get, but I think they get some. I don't think they get completely missed.
Yeah, and I think that even the one that follows later next week doesn't have a whole lot for the Southeast. So maybe they're kind of taking a turn back to a little bit of a drier regime again after seeing overachieving on the last several systems that's come through that region. So,
and I think for the, you know, from Kansas northward to the Canadian border, you know, it's just a lack of warmth. I mean, you get might get one day here where it's or two where it's you get near normal, but most days are going to be on the subside of normal.
Yeah, but I think that I have a funny feeling that's going to change as we get into the summer, and we've all looked at that already. So
yeah, we won't talk about this today, but we will have to address this at one of our future podcasts. So one of the things we talked about the July forecast.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it looks very
interesting. That to me was fascinating. Not good, but fascinating.
Yeah, we'll get into all that down the road here. But that does it here for this week. Be safe. As of this recording, some nasty weather in the middle of the country. Hopefully nothing hits your area. Until next week, enjoy the holiday weekend. We'll see you next Wednesday.